big one of the team members, Paul James Graham, just called us at the right edge, Tom Mitchell, Miles Steele, Ross, others, if you remember her, Donald Pobby, he had stage four cancer, Bobby Knight, is that right, Bobby Knight? She didn't, don't remember her, Knight and Deacon. And of course, Doc Leonard, she's had some, her heart, been out of rhythm, she had high blood pressure. And she's been in the hospital for 3 days, blood pressure's been high, so, hopefully she's home. Her medication, whatever, with the heart rhythm and all that. Also, John Leonard's daughter-in-law, Gwendolyn Leonard, she's had cancer, breast prior to this congregation. And also, again, Jackson County, April 29th, 30th, May 1st, and 2nd. So, again, we go back to before death. Tennessee Bible College, the 32nd annual Veterans Shield, Saturday, May the 5th, Sunday, May the 6th, I'll post that. And also, the singing at Clinton View Church Christ, Friday, April 27th, 7th, 9th. There, so, if you make it to them, that'll be good. Again, first song, 723.
723. I'll sing it again. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in all some wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout
Would have been a better place to be than what you first thought of. If the Lord comes tonight, before we're through with this, I dare say that many of us will be very glad that we spent our last hour on earth trying to worship our God and to be ready for the return of His Son. Tonight we're going to deal with a statement in the Scriptures. How shall we escape? How shall we escape? We'll mention it two or three times as we go through, but how shall we escape? And many of us know that we can escape from a lot of things. Some people are pros at escaping from work. They can do that. Some people can escape from yet anything they wish to. You can escape from the United States. We don't have anything holding you here. You can escape, of course, from jobs. You can walk off and not go tomorrow. You can escape from eating, but sometimes it might be somewhat difficult. But we're going to talk about things you just absolutely cannot escape from. You are here, and you cannot escape from these particular things. The Bible says, "A false witness shall not be unpunished. He that speaketh lies shall not escape." Proverbs 19:5. We'll be using ideas like that some, because we will be talking about how we cannot escape what some of the things that we do in life. And in the book of Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 18:4, Ezekiel makes the statement, "All souls are mine." Many times we don't realize that. There are no souls, no persons on this earth that don't belong to God. All souls are mine. You may not realize it, but your body is the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, "Glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." You don't belong to yourself, and I don't belong to myself. All souls are mine. The Bible says, "In the beginning God created man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." Now, if we can get that through and no ownership, then we've just about made it. One of the first things you've got to do when you teach kindergarten classes, and even first grade, is what belongs to you and what does not belong to you. Children have a way of not recognizing. Fred learned that at camp, you know, and he taught us a great lesson in my stuff and your stuff and how to look at it and not bother each other's stuff. I bring this up to tell you that what I'm talking to you about is nothing unreasonable. If that's your car out in the parking lot and you want to go home, you have a right to drive it home. However, remember, it's probably not yours. Most of you are still paying on your car. I'm not. That is mine. It's paid for. Now, as I was going home today, the oil light come on, but it's mine. It is paid for. It worked last time. I tell you this, so think about how you take care of your stuff. Last time I went on vacation, the oil light came on up in the mountains. Well, it did all right when I got back till I started on a vacation this time. And when I got started, it came on again. And so I came back home and we got another car. But the Bible teaches us that we have to be prepared for things that we are required to look after. And I want you to remember that. We shall not escape. First of all, you'll never escape from yourself. The world doesn't recognize it, but there are people that are not just running away from God, they're running away from their self. You've got to live with yourself. Someone says, I can't live with my wife. Well, have you learned to live with yourself? Someone says, I can't live with my neighbor. Well, have you learned to live with their people just cannot live with themselves. And they can't endure themselves. And so they have a real problem. Now, when you get to that point, you also recognize you cannot escape the deeds you do in your life. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us shall receive for the deeds done in his body. I don't know what you've done today, but judgment day is coming. If you did not use it the way God wanted you to use it, God is not pleased with it. Were you at worship? Were you on time? Did you worship acceptably? Did you do the best you could? You and I will answer for that. I don't know how many words you said today. I've said quite a few. I guess you said quite a few. Maybe some of them you wish you had not said. But you cannot escape from every word. Matthew 12:36, every word that man speaks, he shall give an account of in the day of judgment. You cannot escape from your thoughts. Now we live in an age where people don't recognize and think that thoughts are nothing. I am amazed now what they're putting on television. I sat there today and I'm sitting there watching some kind of little thing for a minute. And I said, Nan, see that? I won't tell you what it was. But I said, Nancy, I cannot believe what they put on TV. The Bible says in Matthew 7:28, very plain, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her in his heart. The Bible plainly says that fornicators and adulterers God will judge. They shall not escape. You women may think that you're innocent when you don't dress appropriately, but the Bible holds both accountable if both are responsible. You cannot escape from your thoughts. The Bible says that we should not have the thoughts. Well, the Bible also says you can't escape from your works. That means what you've done and what you've done in the Lord's church. Matthew 21:28, the Bible says that the man had two sons. And he said to both of them, go work today in my vineyard. And the first one said, I go, sir, and he went not. And the second one said, I will not go. And later he repented and went. I think they represented the Jewish nation, which said to God, I go, sir. And the Gentile nation who said, I won't go, and was now repenting and went. But they also represent individual people. I don't know how much work you've done in the church. How long have you been a Christian? I have been a Christian longer than I ever worked for Robeson County. I did a great job for Robeson County, if I must say so myself. I am still drawing money on the basis of that work that I've done. I don't think they ever paid me for what I was worth. Probably I was lucky that they didn't. But I know that that's the way it works. And if you hadn't put in the time, you can't expect to be paid. Many people fake all kinds of injuries And that's the reason in this country we've got now 60% of the people claiming that they need the government to keep them up, and 40% working trying to keep up the 60%. It is estimated that this will change in the next 10 years to 70-30. I hope you get a job making more money. I want my retirement to keep coming in. I don't want the state to go broke. But anyway, we know that works are highly important in everything but the Lord's church. The Bible says He gave to every man his work. Mark 13:34. He gave to every man his work. And the Bible says, but we shall stand before God to give an account for the works that we've done, that our work shall be judged in the sight of God. You can't escape from the study or lack of study of the Word of God. It's amazing to me that people don't realize that they are responsible to study the Word. Now, students ought to recognize that. I always was amazed at people who didn't recognize that as a student they were expected to read the textbook. I've had a few students who just didn't expect that. You got a textbook in history. I taught history. And I often asked the class, have you read chapter 1? And some of them would tell the truth and say they did. Some of them would tell a lie and say they did. And some of them would tell the truth and say they didn't. I said, have you ever understood a book you didn't read? God expects you to understand the Bible. How in the world can you understand it except by some miracle if you hadn't studied? God plainly says, study to show thyself approved. We had a class this morning. Some of you taught and some of you listened. Tonight it's not my job to study for you. I'm here doing the best I can, which is none too good, to try to get you to learn the Word of God. Your job is to bring a bucket without a hole in it. Your job is to judge what I've spoken. Your job is to listen. Your job is a lot harder than mine. I'm not going to go to sleep up here. I can't guarantee that you won't. I have never gone to sleep preaching. I have gone to sleep several times sitting in the pews of the church. And sometimes I've been somewhat ashamed of it. I wonder if any of you have never gone to sleep in the church. I don't see anybody. But we are responsible. Well, we know so much of that and what family she comes from, you could expect that kind of answer. But anyway, we will give an account of how we have done it and the study of the Word. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, and they shall not escape. It's talking about the return of Jesus. And they would not escape. The Bible also tells us that we cannot escape from our family responsibilities. Just like church responsibilities. Let me point out to you that if you have a home, you cannot escape the responsibility that you have to train your children. By the way, nobody does. Now that may surprise you. Nobody does. Everybody trains their children. Some of them just train them the wrong way. They train them not to eat right, not to sleep right, not to worship, not to talk right, not to work. They do like mama and daddy. They train them. You're training your children. Proverbs 22:16, bring up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. One of the most righteous people in the Bible, I think, in many, many respects, was a guy by the name of Eli. The Bible says that he was judged during the days, of course, when Samuel was on this earth. That was a time when Hannah brought Samuel to the temple, or to the temple, to have him serve there. And Samuel came in as a young boy. Eli was a very, very diligent priest. And the Bible says that he, of course, performed well. And when Samuel heard a message, Eli told him, he said, you need to go back and say, speak, Lord, thy servant here. No straighter answer could be given to anybody. The Lord was speaking to Samuel. He didn't recognize who it was. And so he went back and told him to speak. The Lord delivered him a pretty difficult sermon to preach. He said, you tell Eli that his house is going to be judged and destroyed for the iniquity that his sons have done, and he has not corrected them. Well, when he went back, of course, Samuel was afraid, and Eli said, you've got to tell me. If you don't tell me, the Lord will do more to you. And so he told him what he said. Now, Eli was a very righteous person. There is no mark on his whole life except one. He did not restrain his sons. He didn't train them right. The Bible says that they took bribes. Priests taking bribes. Can you imagine that? The Bible says they committed adultery with the women around the sacrifices. Can you imagine that? Now, Eli did call them in and say, I've heard a bad and evil report of you. This ought not to be done. But God came and said he'll be destroyed because he has not trained his children properly. He hadn't restrained them. And the record says that they were fighting, you know, and they had to have the priest there and the ark because they wanted the ark, and they carried the ark into the battle. And Eli stayed at home, and his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, carried the ark. And the record says that they captured the ark. And the Bible says that they brought, Eli was sitting, he was a heavy man, and he was sitting down there when news came, and he asked about the battle, and they said, your sons were killed in the battle. And he said, what about the ark of God? And they said the ark was captured. And when he heard that, he fell backwards and broke his neck and died. Eli made one mistake in his life. He did not train his children. I suppose if he had been there a day and time, he would have been a faithful attender. He would have been a faithful giver. He would have been a faithful student. He would have been faithful in prayer. He would have been faithful in taking the Lord's Supper. All went to naught if it had been in our time. Because he did not train his children. Number two, you cannot escape being an example. I don't care who you are in the Lord's church. You're an example. You're an example. Now, you may be an example of the sorriest thing ever walked there. You may be an example of somebody don't come to church on time. You may be an example of somebody doesn't study the Word of God. You may be an example of somebody that don't pray or don't give. But you are an example. Hopefully, you're an example of a faithful Christian. 1 Timothy 4:12. Be thou an example. And then he begins to describe how to be an example to Timothy. Be thou an example to them. And he was to be a diligent student. He was to be a godly person. You are an example. And the sad thing about it, your example, if you're wicked and lost, is usually more strong than if you're good, because there's more people prone to accept that. You are an example, especially those you love, and you cannot escape from being an example. Then, of course, you cannot escape dying. I hate to bring you word if you don't know it. You cannot escape dying. Now, there's one way that you can escape dying. But that's the exception. You know, God, the exceptions in the Bible do not disprove the rule. The Bible says all men must die, but the two men in the Bible didn't die. Two of them didn't die, but that didn't break the rule. The rule was that everybody had to die. God gave his own exception. And so the exception to death, if you are alive and faithful, when Jesus Christ comes back, you won't have to die. 1 Corinthians 15 plainly says that the Lord will descend, and we which are alive and remain shall be changed in the twinkle of an eye. That we'll be changed, and we won't have to die if that happens. Now, we can be dead spiritually, and that can happen too, but that's the only way. The Bible said the living know that they shall die. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die. You cannot escape death. Now, if that's the case, you ought to be getting ready for it. Now, if I was selling insurance, might say something about it. But I'm selling something much more important than that. If I was selling grave lots, I would say that, you know, the Gullis were changed. I'm not going to mention too much about it, but they called in all the family. Then they had us come back the next day, and I knew it was going to be a sales talk. And I knew exactly what the man was doing. They had a new overseer. He was trying to sell grave lots. He wasn't interested in us, but he was trying to tell us except for money. Money is the bottom line on getting all of it. But he did say that you're going to need a grave lot. He did point out, and you may not be aware of it, it's going to cost about $8,000 to get you in the ground. Well, somebody's going to pay it. And it's going to happen. You're going to have to. But that's not what you really need. You need life insurance, eternal life insurance, instead of death insurance. Now, if you're going to die, and is anybody here so stupid? I shouldn't say that. Anybody here so out of touch that they don't recognize they got to die? How much of your time? You don't have to think about it all the time, but you need to put some thought to it. There are three things that you have some control over in this world, or might have about this. You might have some control on how you die. You might have some control on when you die. But you have all control over where you die. You can decide where you're going to die. In God's sight, there's only two places to die. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. In the Lord means in the church. 1 Corinthians, we're told, 7:39, a widow is at liberty to marry whomsoever she will in the Lord. Christian widows can't marry out of the Lord's church and be acceptable to God. I don't know all the ramifications of that when I try to put it all together, but I know that's what it teaches. And so, in the Lord. Now, everybody in here is going to die. If you reach stage of accountability or not, you're going to die. If you die in the Lord as one who doesn't know as a child, the Bible says that you're innocent. Of such is the kingdom of heaven. So you're like the kingdom of heaven. But you're going to die in the Lord or out of the Lord. If you haven't been baptized, you're not in the Lord. We're all the sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. If you go home and get killed on the road going home tonight, you've never become a Christian, you died out of the Lord. You don't have any hope. You will spend eternity in hell. There's no question about it. And I say that to try to get you to prepare. So that's the one thing you can do. You can be ready to die by doing what Jesus wants you to do in this particular life. Not only is that true, but you will not escape judgment. Billy Graham gets up and he says, I won't be at judgment. I've heard him say it plenty of times. Now, I hadn't heard him say it lately, although I did watch one of his great sermons the other night. Of course, he has already met his maker in death. I've heard him plenty of times. And he does it because they mistranslate condemnation. There's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And he translates that judgment. There's no judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus. That's one meaning of the word, but that's stretching it out of context on that particular point. They don't think that. They think that the judgment's already passed about them. They've already been saved. Nothing could be further from the truth. I wish you had time to go over the scriptures with you to prove that too. But you can't expect judgment. The Bible says in Matthew 25:31, that Son of God shall reveal himself from heaven, and before him shall be gathered all nations of the earth. That means everybody. Now that's another thing they don't say. They say that's just the lost that's being judged there, the ones that's never been saved. But that's not what that says, all nations. The Bible plainly teaches that the men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. So those people are going to die. It says the same thing about Sodom and Gomorrah, the people there. Everybody's going to be at judgment. The Bible says that judgment is coming to all of us. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. We know all about it. We could study it. We know exactly what the standard's going to be. It's not what you think is going to be brought up at judgment. It's not what your preacher thinks. It's not what your mama thinks. It's not what the majority thinks. That's not what's going to be brought up at judgment. John 12:48. The words which I have spoken unto you, the same shall judge you at the last day. John 12:48. He that believeth and is baptized shall be in judgment. The book's going to be opened, and he that believeth and baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Of course, there are things that fit into the context of the Bible. If you're innocent, couldn't understand the Bible, not of age of accountability, that scripture does not apply. Of course, that. And of course, if he that believes baptized doesn't mean that's all you got to do, but you've got to live a faithful life. But we recognize that's the basis of judgment. Revelation 20, 10 through 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. You're either small or you're great in God's sight. I don't know exactly where he makes the dividing line. I don't know where it's somewhere fat or thin or what weight. But he says small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the book according to their works. And the Bible says that death and hell, now death, if that's the one that's died, gone there in Hades, the unseen world, shall be brought before God at that time. And then there won't be any more death in Hades. Death's gone, Hades is empty. There won't be any more. But there's the judgment. He shall render every man according to his works. Back to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, as he shall separate them, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall say to those on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom, that's the eternal kingdom, prepared for you from the foundation of the world, that's the everlasting kingdom. And the Bible says, he tells them that. Then the Bible says in 41, he says to those on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You cannot escape that. We all know we're facing it. We need to be reminded of it. And the Bible says in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, winding up that great account of that judgment day, verse 46, these shall go away to everlasting life, and these shall go away to everlasting punishment. Same words for both of them. The onios, ton onios in the Greek, as long as it can be. Hell will be just as long as judgment. And you cannot escape. And I must close with this one, I guess, because time is gone. You cannot escape not doing. You cannot. You know, a lot of people say, I won't do nothing. There are a lot of people have made no preparation whatsoever for judgment. The Bible says in Hebrews 2, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which was first spoken unto us by the Lord and then by those who heard him? How shall we escape if we neglect? It didn't say just totally give it up, just neglect. The church today has a lot, some members that are neglecting. They're neglecting the service. They're neglecting prayer. They're neglecting giving. They're neglecting the work of trying to help others. And we know that. We must not be among those that neglect. That's the reason the Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It is a serious business, because we cannot escape the judgment. And I wanted to close with this. You cannot escape the verdict. You cannot escape the verdict. There is no way to do it. People try hard to escape the verdict. I picked up a newspaper down at my unfavorite place to eat this morning. Somebody had one. I wasn't about to buy it. I noticed a picture of a nice-looking young lady on the front of the newspaper this morning. I read a little bit about that nice-looking young lady. I was kind of enticed there to see what such a nice young lady was doing. You probably read it too. This young, nice young lady had mutilated and killed a person and been on death row, life sentence. And while she was there, she got into it with another and killed another. And they're going to have another retrial. It's all about that. And the Bible and the paper said that they've got all kinds of security because they're afraid so many people are trying to get her out. Now, she may escape. She may escape. But I tell you one thing, she won't escape the great judge and the judgment and the verdict's coming later. That's what's wrong with our jury system. One way I agree with my brother. My brother said there was nothing like frontier justice. Catch them today. Try them tomorrow and hang them a third day. And you know it stopped horse thieves? There wasn't any horse thieves. Man might rob a bank, but he wouldn't steal a horse. Catch them today. Try them tomorrow and hang them a third day. That's the way we ought to operate. It takes us 10 years. You know this? It takes us 10 years to execute a person who's been condemned on the average. 10 years you've got to put up with that rascal. feed him, clothe him, look after him, guard him, and everything else. 10 years. Sometimes they're so guilty they even got pictures of where they killed the man. It's not going to be that with God's judgment. God's going to judge you, and he's going to sentence you. And the verdict will be carried out immediately. It'll be carried out. I like what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians. The Lord himself, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation on them which trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us until the Lord Jesus Christ be revealed. In flaming fire. He's bringing the fire with him. Taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of his dear Son. You cannot escape the damnation that comes from not obeying the gospel. You just can't do it. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You can't escape neglecting it. These things we will face. I plead with you as I would plead with anybody. If you are not a Christian, become a Christian. Apply the blood of Jesus to your soul. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. If you are a Christian and you've made sin, it's private, straightened up that way. If it's not, and you need to make a public confession, get ready. Get ready to live for the Lord. Get ready to die in the Lord. Do it now while together we stand and while we sing.
Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy great gladness and light, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of thy darkness into thy hell, out of my womb and into thy well, out of thy sin and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my fear and dread of the tomb, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come into the world and heart of thy home. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the depths of sorrow and untold, to the peace of thy sheltering fold, ever thy glorious face to behold, Jesus, I come to
supper's been left prepared for anyone that hadn't had an early opportunity. Would you please raise your hand this time with serving? Father, we come before you now. Thank you for this time that we had to worship you. We ask you now, bless this bread, which represents your Son's body that is broken on the cross for our sins. Be the one that they may partake of in a well-pleasing manner. In Christ's name.
In like manner, Father, bless this cup and the ones who partake. Help them do so in a well-pleasing manner. In Christ's name.
We are but straying pilgrims here. Our path is often dim, but to cheer us on our journey, still we sing this wayside hymn. Yonder over the rolling river, where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes. Here are often weary on the hills that throng our way. Here the tempest darkly gathers, but our heart within us say, yonder over the rolling river, where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes. Here our souls are often fearful of the pilgrim's lurking foe, but the Lord is our defender, and He tells us we may know. Yonder over the rolling river, where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes.
Lord, again, we thank you for another beautiful day. Do the ones that are mentioned sick, it will be your will to have a restful night. Be with us during our week, the journey that watch over until the next time we meet. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you. How that? You're a pretty thing. I don't know where you got that good looks. Must have been your mama. How that? Come back and see us sometime. I want to speak to Willie. He looks good, don't he? He does look good. Looks good. Is he any better? I'm going to whoop him around a little bit here. I don't know. He's gotten taller since he left. Hadn't he? A little bit. Yeah. Girls, good to see y'all. What's your name?
Desiree.
Desiree and you're?
Tasha.
Desiree and Tasha. Really beautiful name. But that. I've